Hi, this is Bruce Ryder, Five Finger Death Punch, and you're listening to The Jay Franzi Show.
Welcome to The Jay Franzi Show, a behind-the-curtain look at the entertainment industry with insights you can't pay for and stories you've never heard. Now, here's your host, Jay Franzi.
Well, hey there. Welcome to the show. I appreciate you joining me. I am Jay Franzi, and if you are new here, this is where we take a deep dive into the entertainment industry to provide you with valuable insights and entertaining stories. This week, we get to talk with an up-and-coming recording artist. We get to talk with Cody Howell. We'll talk to him about what it's like being an artist and going back to school at the same time, his new single, Any Way You Go, and we'll take a deep dive into his time working on Dolly Parton's new album. Now, Cody is an amazing talent with a unique sound, and his journey has been absolutely amazing. So, if you would like to join in, comment, or fire off any questions, please head over to jfranzi.com. Now, let's get started. Cody, sir, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I am fantastic. I can't thank you enough for coming on. Why don't we just go ahead and jump right in? Can you tell me how the journey started for you? What was your inspiration to get started and move to Nashville?
So I'm from Kansas. Started in my dad's church. He's a preacher there, Calvary Baptist Church. Kind of got into doing music, playing the guitar like he did, and got an associate's degree in audio engineering.
Nice.
Then I went to the Navy for a little bit, about 7 years, 7.5 years. Went to the Navy, then got out using my GI Bill in Nashville. So that's what got me over here. So we got into Belmont University for a music business.
Well, that's too funny. You mentioned Belmont. So, I mean, let's start with the education piece. First, you said you had an associate's, and then you mentioned Belmont. So where was the associate's from?
LeBec Community College in my hometown in Parsons, Kansas.
Okay, that's pretty cool that they had an engineering program in Kansas.
They had it for about 3 years, and then they cut it.
Got rid of it.
Because it wasn't enough, I guess, interest.
No, that makes more sense. Yeah. So you end up in Belmont. What did you think of Belmont?
It's pretty sweet. Like, whenever I was kind of coming in and everything, I was like, I didn't know what to kind of think because all I'd gone to was a little community college. But it's awesome, and they have a whole like veteran center there too. So that's pretty cool. Like, they take care of the veterans that are there and stuff. And then it's a little funny kind of going to college when you're 31 because you're 18, 19, 20 year olds. But
right,
I still have a fun time, you know.
Belmont's a beautiful campus too. I mean, it's very impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get to teach a class over there once or twice. It was a fun place to be, but I can imagine being a student at that place would be pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So did you meet any other people there that you ended up collaborating with?
So far, it's been more kind of hanging out with the other military guys. A lot of them are getting into the music business as well. So we'll see. Probably down the road, definitely, I'll probably end up collaborating with them.
That's going to be another way of looking at it, too. I mean, you being an artist, and you've been an artist for a while now, and you're back in school, and you're learning the business side of it. Do you find any challenges doing that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's like trying to find time, man. This is kind of a decision I made that I don't know if it was a good one or not. So we'll see, you know. But it's going ahead and releasing this album while I'm doing my last semester. But it's got my time as like... Yeah, it's everything from doing interviews, playing shows, making sure we got content to keep pushing out, all that, and then going to squeezing in classes and then,
right,
then trying to make sure you get enough homework done so you're not failing. But, so it's gotten pretty hectic once it started up a little bit. But I just got to barrel through it, I guess.
So how are you working your shows around your schedule?
I kind of scheduled my classes for all like Tuesday and Thursday. Friday, I'll still be able to do homework or go grab the content in the morning on Friday and then do a show that night or do a show Saturday. And yeah.
It's keeping you busy on top of, everything else. It's crazy. You mentioned being in the military. How's the military
kind of shaped your songwriting?
So while I was in the military, I wrote a few songs, not a lot of songs. Whenever I got out, I kind of didn't want to write about the military for a little bit. I wanted to get back into the civilian life. And right. Recently, and kind of through Jason Johnson, he's a buddy of mine, owns Project Canine Hero, founder of Project Canine Hero, nonprofit. He wanted this one Hadley song from his kind of hometown to bring some of the military style in it. And so I was like, all right, man, I'll work with you on this one, man. But so we brought a little bit of it back in, and I'm slowly turning my writing to bring the actual experiences, you know.
Well, that's got to be tough, too. I mean, being in school, being on the road, doing all the PR and everything, and then writing songs and collaborating with other writers. I don't know if you have time to sleep anywhere, but it's pretty crazy.
Yeah. There, this last week, we were in Kansas for 2 days doing a couple interviews. Then it was come here for one day, do school all day. Right after I get out of school, Jason's picking me up because we're going to Michigan to record that lyric video. And then it's come back here. It's immediately do this. And then tomorrow's another school day. And
right.
Yeah. But it's fun, man. Dude, it is fun. I can't say it's not, you know.
Well, you say, you know, you're old for school, but let me tell you, you're lucky you're as young as you are because you wouldn't be able to do it at my age. I'd be crawling through it. But it is. It's insane. I went through school later in life as well, so I know what it's like. It's tough squeezing it in with everything you got going on, and you know, you're a busy man. You got a lot going on. So you mentioned the Project Canine Hero. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's awesome. So, I met Jason up at the local in Nashville when I first moved here, and he has a foundation called Project Canine Hero for military working dogs as well as police working dogs. And not just police working dogs, first responder dogs and like border patrol dogs that were like after they retire. Right now, the government doesn't have a program or anything to like take care of their food or their retirement or their medical bills afterwards. And so it's what Jason's foundation does, Project Canine Hero. It makes sure they either get back with the handler where they came from or a suitable handler, because some of the dogs are, you know, you can't, I mean, they're attack dogs and
right.
You can't just, you know, they got to be trained already.
Can't throw them into a family.
Yeah. So what his foundation does is it provides food as well as medical expenses and moving and sorts of stuff like that for the remainder of the dog's life. It's kind of cool, but I support that. So it's my charity of choice right now. And the Any Way You Go song we wrote, I wrote with him as well, but we've become really good friends and he's a really good fella.
Well, that's a good point. I wanted to talk about that song for a little bit. So you wrote it with him. Who brought it to the table?
I was in a dream, man. I was dreaming. It was like we was coming out of Walmart in this dream, and it was like everybody's hopping into vehicles and saying to me, like, well, wait, you going with them? They're like trying to make up their mind, decide who should I ride with this one? Should I ride with this person? Kind of that was the scenario where it came from. And I said, like, anyway you go, dude, just hop in somewhere. It don't matter. We're all going to the same place. So that's where the idea started from. And I kind of woke up, and you know how you got those like 1 or 2 minutes before you forget the dream?
Right.
So
start writing it down.
I'd kind of already, like, in the dream, I think I became aware that it might be a good idea somehow. I jotted it down quick enough before I forgot it and kind of had the first verse and chorus there. Oh, I think it was like a week later I worked on a little bit. Then a few days later, I was down at Jason's and I was showing him the song I was working on. So we started working on it a little bit, and then we didn't get it finished, but it was like a week or 2 weeks later, we ended up hanging out again on his Project Canine Hero compound. And then we finished writing it, and he's like, okay, man, all right, that's it, you know?
So you go through that writing process. What was the next mm-hmm. step after it was written?
So I had already kind of had myself working with Kent Wells. Lena Page ended up introducing me to Kent Wells, I think about 6 months after I moved here. He produces for Dolly Parton. And
great producer, yep.
Yeah, it was cool. He let me. He hit me up to sing a couple background songs on the Rockstar album.
Yeah, yeah, don't like go getting ahead of us now. Hold on.
Okay.
One step at a time.
So I was talking to Kent Wells anyhow already, and so I was still trying to figure out kind of what exactly I wanted to do, where I wanted to position stuff at. And Jason wanted to record that one. So I was like, okay, well, I got this one, this one. And I was kind of setting up what songs I wanted to have on the EP. So that's kind of where I went right after. And then it kind of got confirmed that it would be one of the ones on the EP to record.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So when Kent agreed to work with you, you know, what did that feel like for you?
I was like, wait, okay, am I all right? Am I good enough? Or am I in over my head? Or am I, you know, like, because, you know, at that point, I don't have nothing to, no ground to stand on, you know, like, wait, where actually am I in this music world? Because I feel like every artist or whoever, like, they're like, oh, well, obviously, my song is the best, you right. know, but, you know, you don't really know for sure. And like, if you're a good artist, I feel like you're constantly doubting yourself anyways. So some days you're like, yeah, this is good. Some days you're like, man, this is horrible. I got to write something better.
That's how you make progress.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You go through all the stages. Like, I mean, even the Any Way You Go song, I've gone through loving it, hating it. Like, you know, you like, oh, I don't know how I feel about it. And like all the little episodes, I guess.
You can't beat the anthem, right? So, I mean, when you had the dream and you wake up, you jot it down and you go and you finish writing it, and then you're presenting it to Kent and whoever else might be part of that selection process with you. I'm sure your wife probably had her say in it as well.
Yeah.
But did you have that anthem feel in mind before you went into the studio to record it?
I didn't have the audience sound, like where I go, Any Way You Go. I was trying to think of a lick to put in there. Right after I go, Any Way You Go, we're all going to the same place, to a bonfire Friday night. But right after I say Any Way You Go, then it's a crowd saying Any Way You Go. And I wasn't quite sure. I had, like, you know, kind of little different ideas on what I kind of wanted for, like, some type of lick or something in there. But I think it worked well with the crowd hollering, and I think that kind of really presented that anthem sound.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, I think that's all part of it. It's what makes it as powerful as it is. I mean, I can understand wanting to put a lick in there and stuff too, but I think you probably chose the right decision to go with that feel to it.
I think that was Kent's idea too, if I remember right.
Yeah, you know, he's got to earn his money somehow, right?
Well, that's what amazing producers do, I guess. Wait, you know what? It's going to sound really good like this.
Right.
But I can't remember exactly who that did.
Was it Kent that went ahead and selected the musicians in the studio and put everything together?
Yep.
So can you kind of describe his working process?
Yeah. So kind of the way that we've worked together, he's got all the musicians. I was able to select the people in the background for the chant, which was cool. So it's kind of how it goes is I'll get some sounds that I kind of like that I'm envisioning for the songs. And whether it's just like another random song or something, I'm like, wait, but at this part, you kind of hear this guitar, how it's got that grunge or that, you know, sound on it. And I'll show them that. I'll be like, can we do something sort of like this in the chorus? You know, and I'll have like four or five kind of different sounds to show them. And then he's got his musicians that are just like, I mean, their fingers are sliding like in extreme like grace and like stop right at the millisecond. And everything gets like crazy.
That's insane. So you guys go in the studio for the single and you go in, you're making your selections, you're giving your input. How quickly did they lay down the basic tracks for the song?
Probably within 20 to 30 minutes, probably about 25 minutes. If there was a competition where there was a timer, then they'd have that thing probably
3.5 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. You know? And if I'd be like, wait, we take that one part quick. And it's like, yeah, they'd have it done in 3.5 minutes.
Those guys are insane.
Definitely be under 10 minutes.
I mean, it's very impressive how quickly they can work and what they can put together. So, I mean, you're in the studio with these guys, and I mean, it's got to be a dream come true, right? You're seeing your career start to take off, and you go in and you're recording the single. How did you feel at that time? I mean, I know you were just saying you were overwhelmed, but I mean, what kind of feelings were going through your mind?
No, so I'm still like in my head, I'm still like, okay, let me just get the vocals good enough so that they know what I'm at least where I'm going or what I'm doing a little bit. But then also I was trying not to suck, you know. I'm doing my best not to suck.
It's going
to
be the title of the episode. Trying not to suck.
Trying not to suck, man. Because when you're in a room with all those guys, man, you're just like, you're trying to keep up, yeah. You know. Like,
they are impressive. I mean, these are people who have played on thousands of hit records. I mean, thousands mm-hmm. of them. And so for you to be able to go in as a fresh artist and you go into work with these people, and the first time has got to be overwhelming. It really does. Yeah. So you go in there, you're recording with these people. What's the highlight? What do you remember most about it?
The coolest thing is like just kind of something that you've kind of had in your head. And then now you all of a sudden kind of hear it, and it's always different. It's never exactly what you heard in your head. But right. I mean, with these guys, a lot of times it's way better than what you heard in your head, you know. But,
I've been there. I can completely understand that. Absolutely. I've gone in with some guitar vocals and then come out with some full productions. And it's like, wow, that's a lot better than what I was thinking.
I think that's the coolest thing.
Did you play this song live before you went in the studio?
Yeah.
So when you're in this live, you're getting some audience feedback as well. Mm-hmm. How were they feeling? Were they receptive to the song?
So I think people were into it. I start a lot of shows off with this one because it was just a little more upbeat. I started with this one a few times and everybody responded pretty well to it. So I was like, okay, cool. We either start with this one or like Tulsa Time just to get a good right. like rocking vibe.
Just to get it going, right? A good yeah. kickoff. Now, I know you have a very unique sound. You know, you can say it's probably a more traditional than contemporary stuff that's out now. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like that is true to you, or do you feel like you're creating that when you go into the studio?
I think it's probably more true to me because my dad's a preacher. And so it was either like 40s country music or hymnals that we could really listen to till I was like 16, 17, started working construction. And then I start to hear some of the other singers, Dirk Bentley, Randy Rogers, Jason right. Aldean and stuff. But I kind of still had all of that in there in me a little bit and then blended with some of the, not the modern now, but like a little bit of that like 2000s country. And then as well, some Texas red dirt, Texas country or red dirt country, you know. I think all that's just in a blend, and that's why I think sounds good. So,
right.
Unless I decide to change my mind, you know, but I try to rock with whatever I think versus whatever I think that somebody else is trying to think of.
Well, you have to be authentic and true to yourself. Yeah. And I think you're doing that. I mean, although it has a traditional feel, it's done in a very modern way. So I think it's really coming together and it's really going to shine. The single is amazing. I love it. But you mentioned it earlier, so let's go ahead and get to it. Let's talk about who is this Dolly Parton person you're talking about?
She's like a little blonde chick. That's so whenever I started working with Kent Wells, and we had kind of, I think we recorded four songs. This is like 2 days after. So I got the background shouting vocals for Any Way You Go. I was right. able to get kind of some of my friends in there. So we got, my wife was able to get in there. She's not much of a singer, you know, but we was able to get her in there.
Whoa, 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 whoa. You're going to have to cut that part out. I'm just saving you right now.
I'm going to bring it back in. I'm setting it up. I'm going to bring that part back in here. Because she knows. She's, you know, she's a shower singer, you know. I like her voice, though. There
you go. All right. Good save. Right, so good
we're,
save.
We're at the, then we got my buddy Ben and his wife, Angie. We're on the background shouting there in the studio, hollering it out from every different direction. So it sounds like a big crowd, but it's four of us in there. I think Kyle might have walked in there a few times to holler. It's like, and then we're trying to shout too in different voices. So it's like, anywhere you go. And away you go, you know, just like however from different sides. So we're doing that.
Crowd feel.
Yeah. So we're doing that. And then we get all those crowd vocals done. About 2 days later, Kyle gives me a text. It's like, hey, man, do you think you're doing anything later this evening? I was like, what do you need, dude? You know, he says that we're doing some background songs for Dolly Parton's Rockstar album, but it's shish shish because she hadn't mentioned that she was even doing a rock album. So I was like, okay, yeah. And do you think you can maybe get the people that you had the other day to come back in here and do some gang vocals? I was like, yeah, I can. Like, you know, my wife's right here with me right now. We can get her in here too, and I can hit up the other people. He said, okay, all right, cool. All right, don't hit anybody up yet. Let me give you a call back here in a second. So he ends up giving me a call back 40 minutes later or so, and is like, all right, hey, can you just bring you and your wife? Because we got some other people too. And okay, so I was like, all right, cool. So I was able to bring me and my wife in there. So she got the background vocal credits too, nice. Which, you know, she's not a singer, you know.
A shower singer gets credits on Dolly Parton's singer. Record. That's awesome.
Yeah, no joke. And but it's awesome.
See, you worked your whole life to get to that point. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah. And then she's just, you know, there. But I was like, she actually is really funny. My wife was like, I think I got to work. I don't think I can get off. I was like, Stephanie, you're getting off work. Listen, you can find a new job. Like, or you can ask for it back after the fact, you know?
That's too funny.
But she made sure to get off work because he ended up calling back later that night and say, wait, no, okay, in like 2 days. So we had 2 days to kind of set it up for it. And then
2 days to be, you know, racking your brain over it. And it's
like, whoa, is this real right now? Like, right. You know, like this is a like freaking, how cool is that? You know,
she's awesome. I mean, she really is. Was she in the room at all when you did it? Was she there?
Nope, not when we were recording. There was a couple times where I left right before she ended up coming in.
So did you get to meet her?
Yeah. What was it? I think after she did the World's on Fire one on the ACMs, then we had a party, like a release party. And she was there the whole night and we took photos and everything. Yeah, it was pretty cool. I got photos with her, my wife, Kent, and Dolly and everything. I may get to meet her a few more times. I don't know.
Well, consider yourself lucky. I got to work on one of her projects once, but I never got to meet her. So you're a lucky man. In the interview I saw with her today, she did 30 songs.
Yeah.
Which one of the 30 did you get to work on?
So we sang on the background of World on Fire, which was one of the ones she wrote that was on the ACMs. We Will Rock You. Mm-hmm. On the background of Purple Rain.
Oh, no kidding.
And there's two more. I can't remember them right now. You think I remember? My brain goes through too much stuff too fast and everything. My RAM memory, it's like keeps booting stuff out of my memory in order to load new stuff. Right. And I'm like,
something new's coming. Something has to leave.
So it's going, you know. But it's documented somewhere. But you can kind of hear my voice come through on both the chants at the end of World on Fire. And then whenever it goes, We Will Rock You, you can kind of hear my voice. Because it's crowded, you know, but I think I got a distinct enough voice that it kind of just kind of somehow came through a little bit.
You do have a very distinctive voice, so I think that's going to play in your favor. Definitely very unique to you, and I don't think there's anybody who can sound the way you do.
That's cool. That's a good compliment, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So you can just pay me after the fact. That'll be okay.
We'll keep that sound bite for TikTok and everything afterwards.
Yeah. There you go. So you're starting to see how this is working now. Great.
Yeah. So I'm getting better at these podcast deals, all right?
That's too funny. So you get to meet her. You get to take pictures with her. I mean, tell me, what was that like? Was she a nice person? I mean, she seems so genuine. I mean, what was the experience like for you?
I wish I would have just like kind of like videoed a little bit of it,
right?
You know, because that would have been pretty cool. But I was too in the moment. I was living, man. You know, and that's a lot better a lot of times, you know.
It's so much better. So much better. I've had a chance to work with quite a bit of people in Nashville, and I probably don't have any pictures to show for it. I mean, very few anyway, but it's the experiences. I don't want to be the one taking pictures. I want to be the one talking and doing things. And, you know, so to me, that was always more fun to be like that.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes the more video cameras are out and stuff, the more it changes the vibe of the whole room, you know.
Yeah. And she's very particular too. I mean, she's got her crew of people that she wants to document things. And I think that's just the way she likes it to be.
Yeah. We went and took photos, and then afterwards we went and listened to the whole album all the way through, and they had a whole video and everything set up for like kind of all the different working process through. And then, had a good time in there, and then ended the night.
Let's talk more about your start here. I mean, I talk about your voice being unique, but you mentioned growing up listening to 40s and 50s country. I mean, do you have any influences from that time?
I don't know if I'd say influences other than the ones that I don't know where exactly they came from. I mean, there's songs like Mule Train. It's like, Mule Train, clippity-clopping over mountain range. And then you got a So Long, It's Been Good to Know You. It's kind of a choir song type thing. We had the freaking cassette. It's called Tumble and Tumbleweeds, but it's not the band Tumble and Tumbleweeds. The whole cassette's called Tumble and Tumbleweeds. It's got a couple songs from the Tumble and Tumbleweeds on there, but like there's some Eddie Arnold on there and stuff. But listening is too far back where it's like I didn't kind of follow one of them or any of them really too much in order to like know where those roots came from. But somewhere down there, they're there, you know.
Well, you have that time that's put forward by your father, but that in working at the church, I mean, what was that like?
Yeah, so for a while we lived at the parsonage. It was right next to the church, you know, Sunday night, Wednesday, you know. That was just kind of growing up. And then we moved out to the country, up by Parsons Lake, and that's kind of whenever I got a little older where I was able to start doing some of the song leading. Being honest, whenever I first started song leading, I was just waving my hand. I don't even know if I was leading to the time. I was just doing this thing because like I could see what they was doing. And anyhow, I was like, okay, I guess I'm just keeping time here. So I kind of learned that after I started the song lead. But yeah, it was just, it was a lot of the same old hymnals because it was a Fundamental Baptist church. So like, you know, Amazing Grace.
So did they recognize your talent at that time?
I don't know. I don't know if I had a really good voice then. Some of my sisters would sing, and none of my brothers really ever sang, I don't think, too much. But
Some of my sisters and none of my brothers. How many are we talking?
I got four sisters and four brothers.
Holy cow.
Yeah, so it goes Jesse, Bonnie, Garrett, Trixie, Cody, Grady, Kirstie, Dalton, Emily.
One more time.
There's all of them. We got Jesse, Bonnie, Garrett, Trixie, Cody, Grady, Kirstie, Dalton, Emily.
So are any of your brothers and sisters in the music business?
Uh-uh. Nope. No, Jesse's over in Columbia. He's a missionary. Bonnie's still in Kansas. Garrett, he built some houses in Kenya. Trixie's in Guam. I'm doing music business. Grady's in Texas now. He's working for Bowen. Kirstie's in Texas. Grady, Kirstie, Dalton's in New York. And Emily's still in Kansas.
Yeah. I mean, I have two brothers. That's it. Just two brothers. At the beginning, before your career took off, were they supportive of your desire to go be in the music business?
Okay. So I was kind of like, I got out of the military and I was like, all right, I'm going to go try to do this music. And I might fall flat on my face, but I got to do it. I don't want to have a grandchild on my lap and be trying to tell him to go chase his dream and me never have done it.
Great point. So,
you know, whatever, I might fall flat on my face. It might not work. Nothing of this might end up doing me any good, you know, but I'm going to try to do what I can, you know, do. So I think if they weren't supportive, they didn't really tell me. So if they were thinking, man, this also is going to not be. Yeah, they didn't tell me though. So that was kind of cool, I guess. If one of them did think that, you know.
Did they want you to have any sort of backup?
I got plenty of backup plans, but if I do think that way, then I'm not going to give it everything.
Right.
Like it's a little trick I have to make sure I do in my brain in order to think like, okay, if I fail, there's nothing else. So I have to succeed. So I got to just keep going.
Well, that's a good point. What do they say now that it's taken off for you?
Well, I've had a couple friends that did tell me afterwards, and it was like, man, like, I'll be honest with you. I thought you was like, you had lost your, you know, marbles or whatever.
Lost your doggy marbles.
Yeah. But they're like, man, it's crazy what you've been able to freaking somehow pull off, man. You know, some of them call it luck. Some of them call it chance or, you know, whatever they want to call it.
Anybody now that's telling you, yeah, I knew it all along. I knew you were going to do it.
I don't want to mention no names on them, you know, because I don't even think they realize that I'm like, oh, yeah,
at least one or two
now,
right?
But you remember freaking, you know, 6 months or, you know, a year ago, whenever you was not saying that. But it's like, did you already lose your memory? Right. You know, but yeah, there's a few people like that there, you know. It's like, oh, I knew it. But I'm sure they're probably sure there's some that weren't 100% honest the whole time, you know, that did think that, or they just,
well, there's a difference between support, you know, you can still be supportive.
Yeah, and the ones that just say, oh, I knew you were going to make it, man.
I knew you were a star.
If you ever need a drummer, man, my nephew.
Right.
You know, that's
so. Well, let's talk about some of your shows. Do you have any memorable moments from, you know, any shows or gigs or time on the road?
So far, like Kimbrough's Pick and Parlor down in Franklin, because that place has really kind of brought me in when I first got here, especially Iron Man. He's an old man that sits on the front porch up there, and it's like a house, and like they'll have music on the front porch, music in like the back room, music in the back patio, and then a little main stage and stuff. But yeah, I don't know, he was really nice and accepting whenever I was just like the first place I kind of went to, and so then I'll hang out there a bunch and I'll start playing music there. That kind of got me getting some momentum going.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, that's the type of thing I'm talking about. It's always good to know who is there for you, who's supportive and tries to help you out. Again, it's Nashville and people don't always understand. I mean, if you haven't been in Nashville, it's one of those places you have to go visit and get off the strip to go see some of these places. Because you never know who you're going to see there. It's just amazing, you know, whether it be upcoming artists or whether it be seasoned professionals. And I mean, you get some amazing people that just play these off the wall venues, and it's some of the best, like Third and Lindsley. I can't tell you how many people I've seen play at Third and Lindsley. The Wooten Brothers. I mean, I don't know if they still do it, but they were playing every Wednesday night. And they'd play for like, you know, a few hours, and it's just amazing stuff. So, I mean, you don't know who you're going to run into. Speaking of which, I mean, when we're talking about artists like that, is there anybody like that that you'd like to collaborate with?
Yeah, dude. And it's funny that you just said Third and Lindsley, because that's the first time that I heard one of my very favorite artists, Zane Williams, which he's now with a band called The Wilder Blue. And they came to Third and Lindsley. That was the first time I got to see him play, because I hadn't been able to get up to Texas to hear him play. I was in the Navy on the San Diego and then over to Virginia and then Nashville. So I hadn't actually heard him play live. And Third and Lindsley was the first place I got to see him play. So that's perfect little loop right there. But and I had already kind of talked to Zane a couple times, like kind of being like, man, it'd be cool if I opened up for you one day. He's like, hey, maybe I might be opening up for you one day. I was like, all right, we'll see, you know. But
I remember him. I can't place it. I'm pulling a Cody right now. I can't place it.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you already done, you know, chunk some stuff out of that random. What is it? Is it on a computer? Is it called RAM? The random access?
Yeah.
Where it's got to like
random access memory. My random stuff is gone.
Yeah. So I got to go back into the hard drive now. It's going to take a second to load. It might have to warm up too.
Probably on a backup drive somewhere.
Yeah.
So he's one of your favorite artists. So if you had a chance to work with him, you know.
Yeah.
Or let's, I guess, ask this. Do you think there's a chance that you could work with him?
I think so. I think I probably have maybe like another year and a half. Well, it depends on how fast I work, but probably 2 years. I think I could be working with him in 2 years. Just to do one song, man, that would be cool. That would be like a dream come true for me. No joke, like.
Well, he is a great artist. I like him a lot.
It wouldn't mean much to probably no one else as much as it would mean to me. Like, that's the coolest part about music. Can I talk about that for a second?
No. Of course you can. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's like that's one of the biggest blessings so far that has been doing music is like coming across some people. It's a whole different experience whenever you play a song and then a person starts like crying right there. It's like, whew, you know? Like I was just able to be that much of a blessing. I don't know. It's just a whole different emotional way of communicating and a way of feeling. And it's like, oh man, they got my song or they got what I was saying too. And then like, okay, you know, I don't know. But that thing is like, it's one of the things that I don't know if it can be beaten, you know, because that's just a super special moment. But it's like, that's the same thing why I got into music is those songs kind of got me that way.
So, I mean, that's a pretty cool way of looking at things. I know that's got to touch you when that happens. Not many people get to experience that. It also reminded me, too, you're at Belmont. Do the students at Belmont that you go to class with and work with, do they know what's going on with you right now?
Some do, some don't. There's one class I have with Alan Shacklock. And he's like, you need to tell them all what you got going on. It seems like it's going really good. I'm like, okay. I mean, I'm going to give you one for real, though. You think you're pretty cool, then go into freaking college with some 20-year-olds. And then you're like, wait a second. You know, holy smokes. You know, you're in the same thing. What did it, 21 Jump Street? Wait, am I putting it on one shoulder or two shoulders? Are we double stepping his backpack or are we just doing it on one? You know, like, what's going on here now? Anyhow.
They have some state-of-the-art studios at that school. Has anybody hit you up to try to get you to go in and let them record you?
So far, I've been able to do one song. It was an old 40s or 30s song called Train Whistle Blues.
So what's in your future?
So there's this song. That's the first one we released, Any Way You Go. And then we're going to wait for Christmas music to get done. Not that we're in a rush for Christmas music to get done, but I kind of am. Okay. No, just joking. But after that, I got 6 more songs on the EP. So we're going to put those out over the next few months, starting at the beginning of the year. I'm already kind of starting to write a bunch more with a bunch of different fellas. So we're working on the next either EP or album. Hopefully it's a full album, but, you know, just got to make sure it goes good. I'm going to definitely have Mushmouth on there for all y'all know that, you know, what Mushmouth is and know that song. It will be on the next album, I promise. I definitely want to start touring.
Work that out with Zane.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, go touring with Zane on this summer, and then
I mean, we laughed. That would be a really cool tour. I mean, the two of you are very unique. I would go to that show.
Yeah, man. We could pull off a whole different style of country music coming in there now.
There you go. All right, sir. Well, we do this thing here we call Unsung Heroes, where we take a moment to shine the light on somebody who works behind the scenes. Somebody who may have been supportive to you in your career. Is there anybody behind the scenes, whether it be assistant, family member, friend, that's just been supportive of you?
Ooh. Let's give it to Anna. Anna's been awesome. She's got core PR promoting my music and stuff, and she's on the grind. She's on fire right now. So, hey, thank you, Anna.
She is awesome.
Hell yeah.
Now, I hope you enjoyed this conversation as much as I did. Cody is truly what country music is all about, and he's just an all-around great guy. So please join me in giving him a big thanks for taking the time to share his stories with us, and thank you for taking the time to hang with me here. I really do appreciate it. Please follow, share, and connect on all the socials. You can do that and find the links to everything mentioned over at jfranzi.com/episode36. Thanks again for listening, and I'll catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to The Jay Franzi Show. Make sure you visit us at jfranzi.com. Follow, connect, and say hello. This episode has been brought to you by VR Knives, your source for 100% custom knives made by a true rock star. So, if you're in the market for a new piece of art, reach out to VR Knives. 407-421-5528.
407-421-5528.